Wow. You know, I know that for some of you, this is like the first time we gathered together. It's good to see Fred and Cheryl. I mean, it's crazy. It's like we got Belong coming up. We got the conference coming up. And like we've hardly had a chance to share with you about what God is doing and what God is saying. So what is God saying? The first of the year we gathered in house churches. We asked the Lord, what is the areas that you're trying to advance us into in 2017? What the church is called to advance against the gate of hell. And so what am I called to do? And then we looked for keys that God had already given us, because Jesus says, I will give you the keys. Therefore, if you're called to advance, he also has keys for you. The next one was the big ice storm. But that's when we were talking about the vision for this house for 2017. What we're pressing into, that we're pressing into getting a building, that we're pressing into starting a ministry school this fall, and in an internship this fall. And if you have not yet heard that message, and you do not have access to get on Facebook and get online to hear a CD, but you want to hear that message, raise your hand right now, because we're going to give you a CD of that message. So if you've not heard the message 2017, which I did on Facebook, if you haven't heard it, raise your hand, because we want you to get you. We want you to know where God is taking us as a church. And this is not a dream. We're actually doing stuff about it, that we're actually taking steps towards it, because the word of the Lord is prepare. And so you can't just say, oh, we're going to hopefully have something. It's like, no, we're taking steps. And that's even what I believe God wants us to do today. So there's also the message that we did last week. And if you weren't here last week, that's also available on the at the back at the info table. And all the messages are now online. We got them online. We have a new system of doing that. So it's real easy to find them. If you know how to scroll, you'll find them. Just get to the Father's House Patriot page and just keep scrolling down. You'll find them. They're all there. You know, one of the things I take really serious as a papa and father here is what I do here on Sunday mornings, what we talk about. A lot of guys have different gifts. A lot of leaders have different gifts. One of my primary gifts is the prophetic. So what I do is I worship. And I get in God's presence until he starts to speak to me. And when he starts to speak to me, I start to write it down. That works for me. There's other guys with different gifts, and they go about it. God still speaks to them. He uses the gift that he has for their life, the motivation for their life. But in this season, the Lord has started speaking to us. I believe that the season shifted a long time ago. It's like the dawn breaks, but it takes a long time before the sun's in the middle of the sky. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. It is the day, right? And this dawn has been breaking for a while now for us. And it started, I think, with Romans 8 series, the revealing of the sons of God. When we started walking through Romans 8 about who we are as the children of God. And we walked right through Romans 8. And out of that season came the song Revealed in the conference called Revealed, in an album called Revealed. God is doing something and he's saying something, because he's saying, hey, I want you to know who you are. Because the world is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God to come on the scene. We are in this season, and God will keep speaking this until we actually move into it. In about 3 weeks from today, February 12th, we're going to have a guy I'm so excited to have with us. His name is Garris Elkis, and he is a real prophetic father in our region. And he has an amazing way of releasing what God is saying that is just, I mean, it's awesome. I actually check with him every day on his Facebook feed, because it's so encouraging. You know, he's got that way of articulating that is so wonderful. And a couple of weeks ago, he released this word. And I want you just to close your eyes to listen, because my spirit so just jumped and says, yes, that's it. That's what God is saying. That's what God's been telling me. And I love the way that the Lord articulated this to him. He said this: my church will become the headline in your culture. What has been hidden in the places of faithful obedience will now be revealed for the world to see. You will be revealed so that the world can see my love at work through my people as I transform cultural institutions thought to be beyond the reach of my righteousness. Come on. I have called you to stand atop of mountains of your cultures. I did not place you there to remain hidden. I have placed you there to become visible announcement of my goodness. The announcement will be the headline that I will use to broadcast my love to the highest places of influence in your culture. So set aside false humility that would have you try to distance yourself from this revealing. You will not make this happen. It will be the work of God. And in the moment of your revealing, the message will not be what you did for God, but what God did through you. This will keep your testimony from becoming the headline. It will keep the testimony pure. Does that resonate in your spirit? Come on. Come on, as I vibrate with that, it's like, yes. And if you're part of the church, then he intends for you to be part of the fulfillment of this prophetic word. The question is, how do I personally respond to that? You know, what am I going to do about it? Jesus said this in Matthew 12, verse 35. He says, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamp lit. Keep the fire on the altar. That's why God keeps saying, like, come on, come on, get more fire. Be like the men who are waiting for the master when he returns from the wedding feast so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. And today, the word of the Lord is saying, get ready for your kairos moment where God comes knocking at the door of your heart and it says, it's your time to enter into what I've prepared for you. Come on, it's your time to enter into what I prepared for you. Listen, God is about to put his power on display in a nation right now that is torn apart by the pride of conflicting philosophies and is filling the atmosphere with fear and hatred. And he wants to use you to be the light that shines into darkness. It's the Isaiah 60 Kairos moment. Chronos time is simply this. It's just father time. It's coming along. But Kairos time is those opportune, momentous times where destiny is shifted. So in Chronos time, gross darkness is filling the earth. But in Kairos time, says the glory of the Lord shines upon you. So arise and shine, for your light has come. There's a moment where he said, man, my light has come, and it's time for the revealing. He wants you to be the light that shines in darkness, to become the living proof of Isaiah 68 in a culture that needs to see the light. When they see the light, kings will come to the rising. That's the mountaintops. That's the tops of culture. You just thought that could never be redeemed. And the word of the Lord says, watch, watch what I do when you rise in the light that I'm giving you. It's speaking of Kairos time. It's speaking of those moments that we have to be prepared for. We have to seize prophetic moments by asking, what does the Lord require of us in this season? Okay? Because that's what I have to do in order to be prepared. What does God want from me in this time? We receive what we're ready for and what we have prepared for. That is so important for us to know. It's so important for us to know. So today I want to talk to you about being equipped for the day of his power. And we're going to get very practical. You guys know that I'm a big picture guy. We're going to make this very personal today. Prophetic words are an invitation for an intended future God has got for you. It's not magic floating in the air waiting for it, like fairy dust, to just suddenly fall on you and like, whoo, I'm in. It's something that I'm inviting into. It's God inviting you to the move of God. I love following the prophetic because he gives you breadcrumbs. He says, do this at house church. And then like a month later, like, oh, I see where you're taking us. Yeah, it's so fun. Listen, that's what following Jesus is like. It's an adventure. It's an adventure. It says, come follow me. Like, where are we going? Oh, you'll watch. You'll see. It's going to be good. And so at house church, many of you identify the area that you are supposed to advance into at 2017 and the keys you were given. But the next question we have to ask ourselves is, how do I prepare to walk in that which God has given me to do? How do I prepare in the day of power? How do I prepare for my Kairos moment, that opportune time that comes? Okay, the definition of prepared is to make ready. So how do we make ourselves ready? And how do we know if we're ready? How do we do that? We do it the way the word of God tells us that we do it. We get equipped. Okay, so this morning I want to go to very familiar scriptures in Ephesians chapter 4. And this chapter is the chapter on the body of Christ coming into maturity. And in this chapter, it talks about gifts of Jesus, not the same gifts as the Holy Spirit, but the gifts of Jesus to the church.
that these gifts are supposed to mature the church so the church can be revealed in the world. And so we're going to start with verse 4. I want Deborah to come on up, and she's going to read for us. You can just follow along. Ephesians chapter 4. Here we go.
There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man.
That is such a good verse. And there's a lot there, but I want to focus on something here today. Is what does the gift of the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, and the pastor, what is it supposed to accomplish? What is it supposed to do? Verse 10, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, which is the same thing as work of ministry, to building up the body of Christ. The gifts of Jesus are for the purpose of equipping the individual members of the church to one end, so that they will take their place of service, so that the fullness of Christ may be revealed to the world. That the body of Christ is not missing parts and bits and pieces, but it is actually the full man coming in maturity together to reveal who Jesus is in our world, so that he may fill all in all through us, his people. We are members of one body. We're members together of one another. Each member plays a part. Each member is equipped to play a part. Some of you have the prophetic gift and the apostolic gift or this other gift and a combination of gifts. But guess what? You also have passions. You have insights. You have burdens and callings. And so that gift manifests itself differently. So I need to not just like, Deneen's a prophet, so all I need to be around Deneen. No, you need to be around other kind of prophetic people because they have a different flavor, a different thing. They're going to the fullness of all who Jesus is, and the expression gets tied into your life, and you tie yourself to that person, then they tie themselves to you, and we become the net to reap in the harvest. Now, what does it mean to be equipped? The word equipped comes from the word kartesmo, which means to be made complete. But that doesn't tell you the whole story. You have to dig into the very root of or kartesmo, which is the picture of mending what is broken. To repair what is rent. And it really comes from the picture of the fishermen mending the net together. So like, oh, this part's not connected. This part is not connected. We start to connect it. And so there's two applications here this morning that I want to go into. First is as the members of the local body of Jesus here together, we have to become a net to catch the harvest that the Father desires to bring into the kingdom. The family he sent Jesus to bring. We're the ones who gather that family in. And that net has got to be knit together that we may be able to bring in the harvest. That we may be able to disciple people. That we may be able to bring people into family. Okay? That we may be also be able to contain the harvest of blessing. The harvest of revelation. That we can come climb to the mountains of society and reveal the goodness of God to people that they may know. Our God is for us. The reason the fire is poured out upon the altars is that people would know that God's heart is towards us. There's lots of people who don't know that. But we need to be mended together, because if we're not knit together, we're not complete. I'm personally not complete, and the body of Christ is not complete. And so we have to connect. We have to connect so the net doesn't have holes, so that we're not incomplete in accomplishing our mission. Because then how will we keep the harvest if we cast the net and it keeps slipping through these places? Because we're not knit together.
We're not around the gifts of Jesus, and they're not equipping our lives to the point that we're actually prepared and ready in that place, solid, so that the Spirit of the Lord can use us to reap a harvest. Because here's the thing. The harvest will start this year. It will start this year. Okay? So are we prepared? Are we prepared? Because it's serious, because these are souls that Jesus died for. And they're going to start coming in. Okay? And it's about partnering together so it becomes important as it is in heaven. That is what's at stake. In the picture that I gave you last week, remember when I had you close your eyes and said, let's go into 2017 and let's see what God has done at Father's house. And I painted that picture of what's happening in this room and then what's happening in other buildings because of all the kinds of different services and meetings that God brought us into, because we're pressed into the promises of God and the calling of God and what he declared over our church. But remember what I said, where are you in the picture? What were you doing? Because none of that happens unless we're all in our place. None of that happens unless we're all in our place, because our net is as strong as the weakest point. And the enemy knows that. If one person is not in their place, the reward is at risk. Okay? The reward is at risk. So the question is, what are you doing about that? Let me just get real practical with you. And just even the small groups. You say, may I need more of the apostolic gift in my life. You know what the apostolic gift does? It heals. It performs the miraculous. It was actually one of the terms for becoming an apostle. You had to perform signs and wonders. The reason that you had apostles is that all of God's people would perform signs and wonders. And so you need to get an apostolic around it. Go to Ann's group. Learn how to function in healing and declare the healing word of the Lord over people's lives, so that the blind are have their eyes open, so that the dead can rise. All of these things, that's an apostolic anointing. Maybe that's what you need to connect to in this season. Maybe you need to discern the voice of God so the prophetic voice begins to be developed in your life, so you know what Jesus is saying and you begin to learn how to declare what Jesus is saying. Okay? Or maybe you need to be ready with an answer for your faith by going to the Navigating Genesis, because there's a lot of smart people that will make Christians look like fools, because when they hear the story of creation, they don't understand the correlation between science. Let me tell you, Ross, what's the name? Is the Dr. Ross? Hugh Ross. Yeah, he's like a astrophysicist. He's about as high as you can go in this field, so he can tell you what's up. So maybe you need to get equipped so you can be a ready answer. Get that evangelistic anointing. Get around Tim, who, by the way, had his gallbladder out yesterday, and we're believing that God is going to release him from, I was going to say prison, but it's the hospital, okay, today. Which, by the way, he probably thinks is the same thing. So, but keep Tim in prayer, because Tim is an evangelist. If you want to equip the evangelist, get around Tim. He leads more people to Jesus than anybody else I know, besides maybe Dr. Gene. All right? Get around Dr. Gene, because he leads people to Jesus. I need to learn how to just take the Bible and get a scripture and figure out how what God is saying. That's part of what they're doing in Blondell and Carmen's group. They're going to go over scriptures and say, what is God speaking to us out of the scripture? Learn how to become teachers of the word. So does everybody have that piece of paper about next Saturday? You need it right now. Because if you don't have it, raise your hand. Because on the back of it, there's an exercise we're going to do. So if you don't have it, raise your hand. And Joe and those guys are just going to, and Tony are going to help. And keep your hand up until you get it. Because we're going to do this little exercise. I hope you have pens. Maybe you can look for pens. Because we're gonna ask some questions today about where we're at with this whole thing. Because unless we pull the prophetic into action, it stays in heaven. I've got to engage with it. I got to pull it down to earth by engaging with this word. What is God asking of me to do right now in order to get where he's calling me to be? In order for me to be ready there on the edge at the Kairos moment where he says, jump, let's go. We're into this thing. So in the back of that paper, there's a couple of questions. And that is, have you identified your place of ministry in this season? In other words, where are you supposed to advance into? Where are you supposed to get equipped is determined on where God is saying, this is where you're supposed to serve in this next season. Have you figured that out? And then the second thing is going to be is what kind of equipping are you going to need in this season? What kind of mentoring are you going to need? Where do you need to dig in into and get connected to in this season? And the first application is, where are you supposed to be in the body in this season? The second application is personal. Because our individual lives is a net to receive our inheritance from the Lord, is what contains the gifts of God and the callings of God. Your net is your capacity to handle the promotion that God has for us in this season, the blessing and the increase he wants to add to your life. So our personal net must be mended and whole in order to contain it. And this is where we get real. We all got places in our lives where we're unmended, where there's some broken pieces. There are places where we're not fully connected to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what do I mean by that? If there's a place in our soul where I don't have hope, or I don't have faith, or I don't have enough love, either receiving love or be able to give love, then that's probably a broken place. That's probably an unmended place. The enemy has targeted you all your life so that you're not on missions, so that you don't advance because you got this stuff that you feel like you're, every time God pours into you, you leak back out. Ever you felt that? You get poured into and then you leak back out. That's partly because there's an unmended place in our lives. And listen, this happens to all of us. It's in me. It's in all of these guys here. We all got unmended places in our lives. We grow from glory to glory. We go from glory to glory. We go from revelation to revelation. And in every part, every time he reveals, strengthen that. Maybe I'm not all torn apart, but I'm not strong enough in that area. It could easily just fray because I haven't strengthened it for the season that I'm in. How do you know sometimes you have an area that's unmended and broken? Look for your overreactions. Look for your overreactions. Somebody go, hey man, what small group are you going to go to? I don't need to be in a small group of the season. Why is it pushing me to be on a small group of the season? What? Like, hey, you could have just said, you know, I don't know yet and I'm not sure. But if you got to get angry about some stuff, that's an overreaction. If you got an overreaction, you got an unmended place. There's a lie working in there that you're trying to keep down because it's yelling and screaming at you every time you look at it. She's like, shut up. Kind of golem. You know? It's like, but he's nice. Oh, you love him. You know, I'm not talking, I'm not saying you're demon possessed or anything like that. I'm just saying like we got these wounds. They talk to us like, rah, 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 rah. Man, I remember that cartoon of, I think it was The Simpsons about a pimple that was talking to this guy. Anyways, okay, Jesus, we come back into your presence right now. Okay. Maybe there's a place where you know, you heard that prophetic word and, that's because there's no faith and there's no expectation because there's something that's not knit, that's catching what heaven is wanting to pour out. And we tend to ignore the unmended places of our lives because shame tells us that if other people see that, they'll think less of you. If other people see that, they won't want to be around you. Oh, that church is full of really powerful people. I got to hide my unmended places. What a lie. Yeah, that's right. What a lie. That's right. I love what happened here today. We exposed unmended places. That's what this is supposed to be all about. Being able to say, okay, I got an unmended place and God just revealed to me. Can you believe with me and speak faith into my life that God will strengthen that place so that I don't walk in self-hatred, so that I don't walk distracted, so I don't walk in this unbelief that I've had? Okay, that's what this God is doing, and he was even doing in this service. He was preparing you for this moment to say, it's okay that you're unmended. You don't have to fix yourself. Unmended places are funny places because sometimes we don't know until it's touched. And then we either run, we hide, or we fight back. The person that touched the unmended place gets a beat down. You know, like, ah! And so I want to just get real practical here. This is why we need the Holy Spirit's fire. This is exactly why we need the Holy Spirit, because it brings to light what's been in darkness. It purifies. It exposes the light and it shines in with the truth so we can know the truth, and the truth sets us free. Okay? The fire also mends, because the fire comes from the love of God. His love is like a consuming fire. It just is all for you. I love the statement of my pastor friends that says, Jesus walks in the flames of a heart that burns for him. Is that good? And that's why I want my heart to burn for him, because I want him to walk in the flames of my heart. But his fire renews us. Listen, there was a move of God in the 1990s that was called the renewal of the Father's love. And it was a lot of like people coming after church and praying and receiving prayer and receiving Holy Spirit ministry. And a lot of things that were said was like, more fire, Lord, fire, 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 more fire. And sometimes that's all they would pray over you, fire, 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 more fire. And sometimes I would feel the fire started to burn within my belly and rise up and finally get to my heart, where God would begin to deal with the places I didn't feel loved. And the places I didn't feel good enough. And Papa would just say, I want to burn that out, because that's a lie. I love you. I love you. Yeah, but I haven't accomplished everything you've asked of me. So what? I love you. My love for you is not contingent on what you do for me. My love for you comes from my heart to you. Get over it. Receive it. Be in it. Bask in it. And then you'll be set free. And then you do from freedom rather than from obligation. You do from love rather than from religion. And this is freeing, because you don't have to free yourself or fix yourself. I want Deneen to come up. Just play a little bit here on the keyboards. Just turn it down a little bit, tone, but just keep it in the background, because I feel like we just need to be in some time before the presence of the Lord before we go this morning. And we got to get real, and we got to identify some torn places in our lives, because so much is at stake. Our Kairos moment is at stake. It's worth identifying those areas, because he wants a people who will rise to the top of those mountains of culture, full of faith, full of hope, and full of love. The world has none of that. And that's the light that kings will come to. When your wounds are mended and your net is mended, you begin to strengthen yourself in the Lord, and you begin to operate in the gifts of Jesus, because you're called to think apostolically, live prophetically, walk on mission as an evangelist, being able to give a man an answer for your faith, be able to speak the word of the Lord, and care and nurture for people. That's the whole complete nature of Jesus. He's all of those things. And he wants us to grow up into his image. And when our net is mended, then the inheritance is kept and stewarded. So I want to practice a little bit of Psalms 139, where David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test and see if there's any anxious thought in me. The medical definition for anxiety is unresolved fear. That means there's a place in my life where I believe in something stronger than the love of God. Because there's no fear where there is love. And these are nice sayings, but he wants to make them real. And there's no fear in love. Oh yeah, there's no fear in love. No, he actually wants to make that real. So you're like, I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid. It's scary, but I'm not afraid. Because I'm in his love. And I know that my God is for me. And if I'm thrown into a flaming furnace, he'll walk in the furnace with me. If I go into the storm, he will be in the boat with me. Sometimes Jesus doesn't remove the storm. He just rides the boat with you, waiting for you to say, hey, speak to the storm. But actually, he's waiting for us to start speaking to the storm ourselves. Because he said, hey, guys, where's your faith? Come on, watch this. Peace. The things I do, you can do, Jesus said. And greater things. So let's practice this a little bit. I want you to just close your eyes just right now. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to search our hearts. And maybe you have this piece of paper in front of you where it says, there's a place in my life where I lack faith. Or there's a place in my life where I lack hope or love. So I just say this prayer. Holy Spirit, come on, say it out loud. Holy Spirit, I invite you to search my heart, to know me, and speak to me. Just ask him, where is there places where you don't have faith? And by faith, I don't mean belief. I mean the boldness to step out on what God has already declared of your life. Ask him there's a place in your life where you don't have hope. And what by hope, I mean there's a place where it's just shining and gleaming with expectation of good. Where you're like, yes. And that's the place that God spoke to me about. You don't have hope for that. Like, whoa. No wonder I'm avoiding it. Because I don't have hope. He showed me an area in my life where I didn't have hope. So, Lord, I repent for not having hope. And I ask that you fill that place with hope now. May the God of God fill me with hope. There's a place in your life where you just don't feel the love or don't feel that you're able to give love. I just write it down, man. Get real, because this is the place, this is the time. We're going to do something with this. Okay, nobody else is going to look at it but you. But we're going to do something with it. As the father of this house, my job is to make you ready. To have you be mended and connected. Personally and corporately. To get you ready for our Kairos moment together and your Kairos moment. As a son of God. Daughter of the Lord. Because if I tried to advance into the enemy's territory to take my inheritance and I haven't been and was torn, all he has to do is poke at that. All right? And I will be derailed in my advancement. I will not be able to contain all that I have for. I'll lack the faith to advance, or I'll lack the hope to stay in the battle, or I'll lack the love for the folks that he's actually calling me to. And it's time to no longer allow what we see as disqualifications to keep us from our place in the body of Christ and the work of the ministry. I'm going to be really honest with you. I'm going to close here, but I don't feel very qualified to speak publicly because I have a speech impediment. I don't know if you guys notice, I don't sometimes finish my thoughts before I jump into the next one. It's actually the way my brain's wired. It's my weakness. It's a weakness. And yet he called me to be his mouthpiece and a prophet. He chose Moses, who stuttered, to be his voice. I don't care what your weakness looks like. In your weakness, he becomes strong. You're able by the power that works in you. We need to get our personal net mended and our corporate net mended. It's not either or, it's both. And if the enemy says, well, you get your personal net together, then you'll be ready to join the corporate net. Don't believe that lie. Just volunteer. Just volunteer, because he will strengthen you in your weakness. And actually, your weakness may be mended by the brother that you get connected to. So what are we going to do with this? I think we take the areas of our brokenness and our call, both those things. Yeah, that's both right there in that piece of paper. You take both those things and you put it in the altar of your heart and you say, God, give me the fire to step into my place of ministry and let me burn with the passion that you have for that area of my call in this season. And I say this season because in different seasons we're called to different things. Get me connected with the gifts of Jesus so that I am fully equipped and fully, Lord, connected for this season. And then I invite the fire into the unmended places, the places where I lack love or faith or hope. And I put those things on the altar and says, God, only you can fill me. Only you can mend me. So I want to stand to your feet. Take that piece of paper. I want you to put that on your heart. Take the piece of paper and put it in your heart. Here it is, Father. Here's our strength, our callings, our purpose, and here's our weakness. We give it all to you because you gave it all for us. You gave your all for us. And so we give this to you. Let your fire burn in our hearts with hope. Lord, let us become fully ignited with the eager expectation of your desired good for our lives. Lord, let us begin to burn with the love of Jesus. The love that took him to the cross. The love that pulled him aside and had him leave the wealth of heaven and the glory of heaven and become lower than the angels that he even created by his word and get lower and get lower and get lower so that we may have it all. Thank you. Just say thank you to the Lord again. Just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's gratitude, guys. It's gratitude. It's not begging that gets us what he has us. Just say, hey, thank you. Thank you that you did that for me. Now would you do this for me? Would you mend me in my areas? Just ask the Lord to mend me in the areas. Just begin to intercede right now. Just everybody speak out loud. Just if everybody speaks out loud, nobody's listening to the other person. Just right now, Lord, thank you, Lord, for mending the areas where I didn't have hope. Thank you, Lord, for becoming the God of hope to fill me with all hope and expectation. Lord, of your intended goodness, thank you for filling me with faith, the boldness to walk, Lord God, in the word, walk out the word of the Lord over our lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. All right, thank you, Lord. You gave it all for us. I just think we got to sing that chorus. I think we have to end with this triumphant understanding that if he gave all for you, then he can mend those broken things you're holding. That he can lead you into your call and your purpose. That he can equip you for that kairos moment. That he can have the net of this house be mended and whole and complete, that we may enter into all the works of Jesus together. If you want to roll back to that song, I want Deneen, if you guys want to turn her mic on, and let's just sing the song just as we end today. Deneen's mic, you guys?